past few weeks, I have been focusing on the lectionary. Lectionary is that book that gives the church consistency around the world and encourages pastors to preach from similar texts. So wherever you may be, you get a similar message. I don't always use it, but I have been for the past few weeks. And so this is last Sunday's text. Not the current Sunday, it's last Sunday's. Mark 6. And he went out from thence and came into his own country. And his disciples followed him. When the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many hearing him were astonished, saying, "From whence hath this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hand? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Jose, and of Judah and of Simeon, of Simon? And are not his sisters here with us?" And they were offended at him. But Jesus said unto them, "A prophet is not without honor, but in his own country, and among his own kin, and in his own house." The crowd, and he could there do no mighty work, save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk to heal them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. And he went round about the village teaching. Amen. I'm more than Mary's boy. That's what I want to talk about. I'm more than Mary's boy. I read the story of this young man named Stephen. He grew up in a certain community, had a very close family. He went to college. The Lord called him to preach. He went away to seminary, and finally he finished seminary and he came home. He wanted to see his family, spend some time with his family, been called to a church before he went to the church. Came home and he visited some of his friends. Went by the church. And the pastor invited him to preach since he had finished seminary. He said, "You're in town, why don't you preach next Sunday?" And so he accepted the invitation. And so he worked on the sermon with the church. All of his family's there and his friends from the neighborhood. And his little niece was there. Her name was Kathy. So he got up in front of the church ready to preach his sermon. There's still a hum in this microphone up there in the sound system. Got up to preach his sermon, and his little niece there named Kathy said, "Uncle Stephen, you don't know what you're talking about." Out loud in front of the whole congregation, she gets up and puts her hand on her hips and says, "Uncle Stephen, you don't know what you're talking about." How many of you know sometimes your family can be your worst critics? People you grew up with know all about you. You don't gone away from school. You've gone away and you learned some things. And when you come home, you're still little Greg. You're still little Martha. You're still little Stephen. And little Kathy, she's saying what the rest of the family really thinks. You don't know what you're talking about. But this is a story about Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ grew up in this little town, this little one-horse town called Nazareth. Had about 5,000 people. Everybody knew everybody. It was considered to be a poor village. In fact, the question arose, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Yeah. Nothing good was expected to come out of Nazareth. Jesus grew up in this town. And one day, Jesus left town and he went to the surrounding communities of Capernaum. And he developed a wonderful reputation. You can read Mark 5, and he healed the demoniac, man running around cutting himself. Then he healed Jairus' daughter. Then he healed the woman who had an issue of blood. He had, everywhere he went, he preached and he taught and he healed. He had a wonderful reputation. In how many know you can have a better reputation in another town than in your own town? Because right now, you know, I look at you out there, and all of y'all look like you were saints when you were a teenager. But the fact of the matter is, you got some stories that you can't even live down at home. You had to leave town just to get your life together. So Jesus, he leaves town. He goes out and he preaches and he teaches and he heals. And he goes back to town where he grew up. And he does what he always does. He goes to the synagogue. And when he goes to the synagogue, somebody hands him a book. And he reads with power and with authority and with conviction. We don't know exactly what he read in Mark. But if you go over to Luke chapter 4, you get an idea of what he read. It talks about being anointed, talks about setting the captives free. And they were impressed by what he had to say, but they were not impressed because he was one of the local boys. It's a terrible thing for people to decide that you are nobody but because you grew up in the project. It's a terrible thing for people to decide that you are nobody because you grew up in Hackensack. It's a terrible thing for people to decide that you are nobody because you're black. Jesus is reading this text, and all of the local folk are around, and they say to him, wow, he reads like he's from somewhere else, but isn't he the carpenter's son? In fact, as I was doing this research, they think that Joseph was already dead. That Joseph, you know, Mary and Joseph, they think that Joseph was already dead. That he died when Jesus was a teenager. Because it was a put down when they said, isn't this Mary's boy? Back in the day, you did not ascribe worth of value by saying that you were the son of the mother. Your value came because you were a son of Joseph. So the fact that they said, this isn't that Mary's boy, suggests that it was a put down. How many of you know sometimes your kinfolk can put you down? Just like his daddy. Ain't gonna be nothing. It's like his mama, she wasn't nothing. He was lazy when he was in high school. The fact of the matter is, change is possible. Jesus goes into the temple, he's with authority and power, and the local folk look at him and put him down and says, not only is he Mary's boy, but isn't that the brother of Simeon and Judas and some of the others? Jose, isn't that Jose's? You know, that family, he didn't even come from a good family. Here he is talking about he is the Messiah. Right. I came by to tell you this morning that Jesus was more than Mary's boy. He was also the Son of God. He had conversations.
conversations with the divine on a regular basis. Who you are, to some degree, is determined by who you are exposed to and what you are exposed to. That's why it's good if you can afford it to get your kids out of town every now and then. That's why it's important to go on vacation if you can. That's why it's important to go to the library every now and then. We have this summer enrichment program here at our church. I went there the other day. Two or three of the kids seemed to be engaged, but the others seemed to be not engaged. And I said to them, don't you know that you have an opportunity here? Use it. I don't care, but I don't want to be here. My mama made me be here. So what? You're there. Exercise that time. Redeem the time. It makes a difference in your life. There are those. What I'm trying to say is Jesus, he was born in Nazareth, but he didn't have Nazareth in him. You can be born. Maybe your mom was a drug addict or a prostitute. Maybe your dad is in jail. Maybe you grew up in the project. Maybe you were homeless. Maybe you had a hard time. But let me tell you something. You don't have to let that control your life. Go to school, but don't do your lesson. Go to school with an attitude. Go to school with a sassy mouth. Shut up and get your lesson. Go to school trying to impress your friends. Impress your teacher. When I read this, Jesus goes to church. Jesus goes to the synagogue. And the text says, they were astonished. It wasn't supposed to have anybody growing up in Nazareth not supposed to be smart. They expected for Nazareth folk to be stupid. They expected for Nazareth folk to not be about anything. And you know what? There's some folk who expect us to be about nothing but foolishness and crime and drugs and bad lifestyle. Astonish them. I'm about something. I'm more than Janie's son. I'm more than Mary's boy. I've been bought with a price. I'm a child of the King. I'm somebody in Jesus Christ's name. I might not be all that you expect me to, but I'm more than you think that I am. What's more important is not what you think about me. It's what I think about myself. So they go. Jesus goes and he teaches and preaches with authority, and they start putting him down. He's from Nazareth, and they disrespected him because of where he was from. I read this story about this guy let me get the text here because I want to make sure I get this right. I read a story about this guy who's, let's just say his name was Stephen or whatever. He had a son putting together a little model airplane. I don't see those too much, but anybody ever put those model cars together, those model airplanes? You know, for those kids, they wonder what we did when we were kids. If our parents could afford it, they buy us a model plane. I can remember. I don't think I did too many model planes, but I had some model cars. And I'd take hours to put in that glue. You had that glue all over your hands. Every now and then, one of my cars would fall, and I'd cry like somebody killed me. because, you know, it took me hours to put those cars together. But the story is about this young man who put together this plane, this model plane. He had this glue, and he was gluing the wing, and he got that, I don't know, that sticky glue on the wing, and he couldn't get it off. He just kept shaking it, and finally he got this solvent, and he finally got his finger separated from the wing. And the pastor went to somebody's, it was back then when the pastors visited people, newcomers, you know. Confess, he was back there, you know. You can't go to everybody's house in the hood no more. You act like you don't either. Back then, but anyway, it's back then when the pastors actually visited people. And he went to this visitor. Visitor came to this church, and the pastor went to the house, and the father said, "Yeah, this is Sam. He's so clumsy. This is Kathy. She's so sloppy. And this is Greg. He'd be late for his funeral." And then he said, "That father was stuck on the negativity of his children. Just like that son had glue stuck on the wing that father, all he could see was their faults." And that's the church of Jesus Christ. Too often, all we can see is the faults of somebody's past. But the church is a place of grace where you give people a second chance. Now you know, and I know, Jesus didn't have any faults, but the community said, basically, the reason you can't possibly be the Messiah is because you grew up in Nazareth, and everybody knows nothing good can come out of Nazareth. That's the human side. But God says, "I can bring anything. I can," look at somebody and say, "He can turn it around." Jesus goes in and goes into Nazareth, and his negative friends, people who his kinfolk, decides that he couldn't possibly be the Son of God. All they could see was, you know, there's always some old folk, you know, there's always some old folk who remember when. You think you done got away with something. There's always somebody, you get high on your horse, you know, "I'm saved and sanctified, full of the Holy Ghost, fire baptized." There's always, don't get mad at me, ladies, there's always usually one sister saint. Sometimes, guys, we forget, I think, you know. But, you know, we can second the motion once sister saint says, "Yeah, that's right. And I can imagine in that little one horse town called Nazareth, when Jesus decides he's going to go back to visit the family, he wants a little rest and relaxation, and he goes home and he goes to the synagogue, and his family and his friends start scandalizing his name and say, "You can't possibly, you are one of us. We ain't nobody. We think we ain't nobody, and you ain't nobody either." Every now and then you got to get away from family. I didn't. Somebody said, "Oh, I just think that's awful. You talking about don't love your family?" I didn't say don't love your family. But I said every now and then you got to get away from family. How many of you parents will be honest enough to say, you know, that we send our kids away to go to college, and they come back actually knowing something? I mean, Monique, she knows far more about the internet and websites. Hey, what I'm trying to say is, every now and then, you've got to sit down and let your children be your teacher. Now, I'll tell you, it's hard. Michael knows far more about sports and track and many other other things that I know. How do you know? Every now and then, your parent is going to stand up and say, I'm your dad. So what? Jesus goes back to town, and his kinfolk probably got on his nerves. And this Jesus, when he was in Capernaum, healed a demoniac, healed a woman who had an issue of blood, healed Jairus' daughter. He was respected out of his own town. How many of you know they say you can only be an expert 25 miles away from home? As long as you're home, you don't know nothing. Go back to your home church, you still little Jerry. 50 years old, still little Jerry. How many of you know sometimes we miss our blessings because we don't have respect for one another? Jesus can heal over here. He go over and touch somebody. They get healed. He go over here in a foreign country. He touch somebody. He comes home. And because of unbelief, he said he can only heal a few folk. It's a terrible thing to miss your blessing because of your stubbornness. Look at somebody and say, ouch. Jesus comes home. He's full of authority. He's full of power. He's got healing in the hem of his garment. And he's got all kinds of power to set free and remove demons. And because of their familiarity, sometimes our familiarity can make us miss a blessing. The answer to your problem is right in your house and right in your family and right in your church and right in your school, but it's because it's your boo. You can't receive the blessing. I've been here long enough, I can say this right now. Sometimes, you know, I'm not always on it when I preach. But sometimes I know I be telling the truth. But you won't receive it from me. I got to get Reverend X from Florida to come say it. Because you know me, and you really say, Jackson, you don't know what you're talking about. But if I pay this guy $1,000, put him in a hotel, feed him, fly him up here, give him a check, he says the same thing. Boy, you preach, Remix. When you going to get him back up here again? And really what you're saying is, you are a local nobody that you don't really know what you're talking about. Bring us somebody from the outside. You're preaching, Jackson. Go on, boy. Just help yourself. Jesus goes into his local synagogue and the local family members is offended by his presence. And Jesus, who could heal where everywhere else, could not do many miracles because of their unbelief. Then it says, and he says the other thing, he says, he could not do many miracles or mighty works. Read that. Because he was without honor in his own town, and he could not do many mighty works. Which really says to me, he could do some little works, but he couldn't do mighty works. And I wondered, what are the mighty works? I mean, he could heal, he said he healed a few folk. But He couldn't do mighty works because of their unbelief. It's right there. Read it. Well, I thought about that thing. I said, well, you know, if I got cancer and he healed me, that's mighty work to me. I have a brain tumor and he heals it. Don't get no more mightier than that. But as good as that is and as powerful as healing the body is, how many of you know every now and then we need our emotions healed? I know a whole lot of people who are physically well and are emotional wrecks. How many of you know many of us need a little emotional healing? Marvin Gaye talked about having a sexual healing, but every now and then we need an emotional healing because our emotions are like roller coasters. We don't have no heart attack. We don't have no diabetes. We're just emotionally messed up. When the Lord can heal you on the inside, when the Lord can transform your psyche and transform your spirit and make you feel like you're somebody and forgive you of all yesterday's sins and make you feel like that you are a new creature in Jesus Christ, that's mighty works, and you cannot receive it if you're full of unbelief and doubt. You need to ask the Lord to clean out that negativity out of your spirit. And Lord, I'm so full of unbelief and doubt. Clean me up on the inside that I can be what you say.
You know, I read this other little story about this guy that grew up, that lived in one of the Pacific Islands. I forget what the name was, but he lived in the Pacific Islands. He was a smart guy, good-looking guy, handsome guy. Everybody loved him in the Pacific Islands. They thought he was just great. Finally, he was going to get married. He picked out this woman. Everybody was surprised who he picked out. She was not pretty. She was slow. She had a bent over back. She wasn't smart at all. Everybody was just surprised how this well-respected, handsome, smart guy would pick this woman to be his wife. She was older than he was. She's one of the oldest women in the village. And in that village, though, whenever you got married, you paid for the woman that you married in cows. It's a Pacific island. It's in another generation. Don't freak out on me on this. So the average payment for that a guy would pay for his wife would be 3 to 4 cows. If she was pretty and smart and, you know, she was all that in a bag of chips. The average payment, the average endowment that the man would pay for the wife would be 3 or 4 cows. And this guy paid 8 cows. Everybody said, he lost his mind. They figured she was at least a 2 or 3 cow wife. No way was she an 8 cow wife. But a month or two later, a guy from America came to this Pacific island and he heard the story. And so he went over and said, well, you know, Sam, Ralph, whatever, Greg, how is it that you paid 8 cows? But before, he says, because he says, before we get there, he says, he went there and he saw this woman, and now she was fine. She was vibrant. She wasn't bent over at all. She was smart. She was pretty. She was engaging. She was what any man would have wanted. And so this American guy says, you know, how did this happen? You know, I heard that you married this ugly woman, bent over, and old. And,
Everybody was talking about you. He said, well, you know, I always wanted an 8-cow wife. And I just started treating her like an 8-cow wife. I wanted her to know that she was the most valuable woman in the whole village. I wanted her to know that she was somebody. I wanted her to know that I loved her for a whole 8 cows. And you know what? After a while, she began to act like an 8-cow wife. After a while, she began to treat me. I just kept on treating her like I loved her. And don't you know, after a while, she became just what I thought she would be. What about if our teachers treated our kids like 8-cow children? What about if our employers treated the employees like they were 8-cow employees? What about if husbands treated their wives like an 8-cow wife? What about if we treated each other like an 8-cow Christian? What about if we learn how to forgive one another? What about if we learn how to offer second chances to people? What about if we learn that people are not valued because of what they had done yesterday, but valued because of what they can be?
Jesus comes into his hometown, about Peru. Comes into his hometown. Goes to church, goes to synagogue, stands up and preaches and teaches. People are offended. They are astonished because he's not the little Jesus that they thought that he would be. Young people, I want you to get this. I don't care where you came from. I don't care where your daddy is. I don't care where your mama is. You are firm because you're a child of God. You are an 8-cow child. In fact, today, because of inflation, you are a 20-cow child. That was 35, 40, 50 years ago. Things have changed. My God, you are a 20-cow child. I know you are, because your mama and your daddy have sacrificed a lot for you. And us parents, when we send our children away to college and they come back smarter than we are, receive it. Kids, don't wear your smartness on your sleeve. I thought it would be worthwhile to teach this lesson today and to get it into our spirit that I'm more than Mary's boy. I'm more than a child of Nazareth. I'm more than Janie's son. I'm more than growing up in the projects of Bayonne, New Jersey. I'm more than Ambrose Jackson's grandson, the sharecropper in Campobello, South Carolina. I'm a part of everywhere I've been, and every school teacher, and every Sunday school teacher, that they have put some spirit of Christ in my heart and my mind, and I can see further now. And I thank God that I believe enough that the Lord can change my mind and change my heart and transform my spirit. I'm more than a physical being. I'm an emotional being. I'm a spiritual being. The Lord is still working on me. I'm more than 195, 200, 205, I don't know how much I weigh. Used to be 190, but it's probably, I haven't been on the scales in a while. But I am what I read. I am where I go. I am who I know. And that's why it's important, young people, for you to know somebody. It's important for you to read and go to school. It's important. It's important for you to know that
Nobody can pigeonhole you into a little small town mentality.